You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Come from you, ghetto people, yeah.
What are you gonna
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Maafa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We say Ashe. we pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope you are well. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it's not, and it has to be done, it must be done, and you will get it done. And that's why we respect you. That's why we appreciate you, because you will get it done. Well. But if it doesn't have to, but also too, even though you did it safely. You wore your mask. You kept your distance. Made sure your hands were constantly cleaned or sprayed disinfectant. You did what you had to do. And you continue to do that. And we appreciate that. Stay safe. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific. Any other time around the world, if you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that, and the drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. And it looks real good, thanks to my good brother, Brother Kwaku. Appreciate that. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. A rundown. Once again, this program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. All times are going to give our Eastern times. Tonight at 6 p.m. from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Wahad Ahmed. Followed by, from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Kamban and her daughter, Nataki Kamban. And then that's followed by, from 9 to 10, every first and third Mondays, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. And then on Thursdays, from 7 to 9, After 7 with host Shani B. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right, brothers and sisters. It's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays from 4 p.m. to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then at 7, from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council with host Brother Alfonso Watkins. And then on Sundays, once again, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 7 p.m. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is We Buy Black. Go to We Buy Black, and I assure you, you know, you'll find something, you know, and that's the point. Find something on the website to purchase. Spend money with us. Please do. We Buy Black, the largest. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses at WeBuyBlack.com. And, of course, also, too, if you want to donate, we're trying to get a supermarket. That's right. Here in Atlanta, Georgia, where all these American Africans and Africans, all in this area, all in this metropolitan area, We don't have one supermarket. In fact, in the city, I believe there is a service station outside in one of the counties. I can't remember which one. There is a service station, but we don't have one of those in the city, you know. And so it really speaks to basically what my topic is going to be today. Are we African or are we black? Yeah. WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bamani Tahimba is in Tanzania as we speak. Africa for the Africans. He'll be there till the 30th. Can't wait till he gets home so I can have him on the program. And also to direct you to YouTube so you can see videos of his trip to Tanzania and discussions. Because at the end of the year of next year, from November 19th to the 29th, 2021, he's going back to Tanzania, and I definitely plan to go. But the other trips that are happening, he still has the trip to Ghana this year. It's still on December 24th through January 5th, 2021. Next year, April 2nd through the 12th, 2021, Senegal and Gambia. And then May 24th to June 4th, 2021, Ghana, going to Ghana. And then, of course, the trip I mentioned, November 19th to the 29th to Tanzania. Africa for the Africans. Brothers and sisters, go to AfricaForTheAfricans.org or give brother, well, you can't give him a call, brothers out of the country. But if you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007. Brother Renoko Rashidi, Brother Renoko, he has a trip upcoming, and that is, of course, the first trip is really it's going to have is to Kemet, August 1st through the 14th, August 1st through the 14th. But the trip that he was promoting was Uganda and Rwanda, and man, I just saw some pictures of Rwanda. Man, it's beautiful. It is one of the cleanest countries in Africa, one of the cleanest countries in Africa, Uganda. And so if you'd like to see that, give Brother Renoko a call at 323-803-8663. That's 323-803-8663. Or go online to drrenoko.com. Dr. Renoko, hopefully can lead to his email. I think his email's at Hotmail. I should put his email down because he prefers getting messages through email, and he'll definitely contact you. And like I said, he's going to Kemet August 1st to the 14th. He's going to Kemet. And I believe both trips were initially at around 4,200. Okay, but go online and check them out. They're beautiful pictures. I hear you. Habashah Incorporated.org. The brothers and sisters are doing the work at Habashah Incorporated.org. They have beautiful programs, the Kashi Project that they're building in Africa. You know, it's a Pan-African organization that cultivates leadership in youth and families through practical experiences in cultural education, sustainable agriculture, entrepreneurship, holistic health, and technology. Habashah works Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, and the Urban Green Jobs and the Golden Growers. These are the projects of HabashahIncorporated.org. They're doing the work. The Kashi Project is being built in Ghana. They've shown it. I'm not sure it's supposed to have been completed. It may or may not be completed. I'm not sure. But we'll see. We'll talk about it. HabashahIncorporated.org. The Ledge Group. The Ledge Group stands for Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics for our people. Working the land and sharing. Group economics. Yeah. The Ledge Group. Also to go to Facebook and the Grand Rising. Put in Grand Risings. And that you can become a contributor. But if you want to become a member of the Ledge, go to the website and find out how. TheLedgeGroup.com. TheLedgeGroup.com. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall.
They have all the books, postcards, greeting cards, gift certificates, figurines, and T-shirts. You name it, they got it. Mama Nia is an outstanding job in the of educating and promoting and so forth. So give her a call at 404-346-3263. Or if you're in the Atlanta area and you're on Georgia Highway 166, and on that highway there's an exit, you know, on Greenbrier, Campbellton Road. There it is, the Greenbrier Mall. All right. Also, to the other bookstore we promote is the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. My good brother, Gazimde Ajamu, the owner. He has a coffee bar now serving delicious Cameroon boyo. He has books, T-shirts, all kinds of good stuff at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore located in Lithonia. 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar. Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar. Located in the West End. Located in the West End on Ralph Debert Abernathy Boulevard. And delicious smoothies and fruit drinks and all kinds of stuff, pastries that they have. Give them a call at 404-444-1635. 404-444-1635. They're located right across the street from the Soul Veg Restaurant, the West End Mall, and up the street from Shrine of the Black Madonna. Speaking of the Shrine of the Black Madonna, that's right, I mentioned before that the Shrine is open. The Cultural Center and Bookstore, holiday openings, it opened on the 20th on Friday and Saturdays. It's Friday and Saturdays, open till January 9th. On Fridays and Saturdays, open from 1 to 7, Friday and Saturday till January 9th. Shop for books, art, work, calendars, holiday cards, Kwanzaa. They have an array of Kwanzaa items. You can get your Kwanzaa kits and candles and so forth. African-inspired gifts. Located 946 Ralph Debert Abernathy Boulevard. And the number to call is 404-549-8676. That's 404-549-8676. The Shrine of the Black Madonna. They also have online shopping available. Shrine of the Black Madonna. In fact, the website is Shrine of the Black Madonna and the number 9.org. The Shrine of the Black Madonna and the number 9.org. Us lifting us to economic development cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. And they have the Thursday night broadcast every Thursday night from 9 to 10 on Blog Talk Radio. Go to blogtalkradio.com/ULU. The name of the program is Dare to Win. If you want to call them for comments, questions, or concerns, or even just to listen, dial 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Sanjay Dash Haiti. Sister Gabrielia, who's doing an outstanding work in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti, in the mountain area, in the rural area. Of course, you know they need help because in those areas, in that kind of situation, they may not be getting very little of anything. So please go online. Go to Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E, dash Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I.org, Sanjay, dash Haiti. Ackerman Institute, I know they had the Kabuka this past weekend. I was unable to go online to attend, and so I heard it, everything went well. And my hat's off to Baba Baruti and Mama Ya Baruti consistently informing and educating, inspiring, motivating our people, and particularly our young people. You know, they've been doing a good job educating, and so I'm saying to you as a listener, think about supporting on a constant basis. But if you want to make a check out, a money order out, make it out to Ackerman Institute. Send it to P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia 30310. That's Ackerman Institute, P.O. Box 10786, 30310. But if you want to use Cash App or PayPal, on the Cash App, $YAA, the letter M, and then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. Okay, you can make your cash donations to Ackerman Institute. The Inye Sesem of daily revolutionary thought. And you say some of daily revolutionary thought. November 22nd. A man of power is hard to find. The Epic of Sanjara. If you want to build a liberation army, where would you find the best, the most experienced, conscious warriors? By what means would you persuade them to walk with you? How will you determine who is an enemy infiltrator? How will potential recruits be able to tell that you are not a front for the enemies of Africa? A recruiter looking to identify and reveal those most prone to real revolutionary action. How would they sustain themselves, and how would their methods of gaining sustenance tie them to you? How will secrecy be maintained from the inception of their recruitment? How do you assess their abilities and utilities? Will they unquestionably submit to a direct order or a master plan? Of course, we can always criticize this set of questions by saying this or that critical issues is not being addressed. But what are these critics doing to build actually functioning liberation armies? Not a damn thing. Them critics. Affirm, I am a man, woman of power. Affirm, I am a man, woman of power. Power being the ability to define reality. We must shape reality in our image and in our interest. That's what power is. It's not politics. It sure the hell ain't voting. It's not money. It's none of those things. It's the ability for us to come together and define for ourselves who we are and what we are going to be and then act on it. That's power. November 23rd, the language that the individual speaks, which is the product of a particular people, plays an important part in the constitution of individuals' mental disposition and attitudes. Eleni Tedle. European language is harsh and vulgar. Terms not used for sexual intercourse throughout their history favor the derogatory, especially with respect to the female participant. In this collection of terms of endearment, we find nailing, fucking, screwing, pegging, pinning, humping, bawling, banging, bopping, jumping on one's bones, action, scoring, hitting it, hit and run, getting it, nookie, grinding, icing, occupying, drilling, extramarital sex, which is coined offshore drilling, playing poor man's polo, wearing it out, tearing it up, gang banging, wrenching, boning, driving, impaling, shooting, stabbing, slamming, ramming, busting, jamming, tapping that ass, hitting it from the back for those who want to hit from the back on the side of me, see it, and killing it. And females see themselves as someone to be conquered, tend to say, take me. Most often expressions that could be considered positive, like making love, introduce romantic notions by confusing sex with love. Euphemisms like making love, sleeping together, and going to bed give the illusion that these all too often violent acts of control and domination are as harmless as taking a nap. The number of terms for hate as compared to those for love in the English language reflect their negative tendencies in their thinking. Affirm, I speak with respect of Africans. Affirm, I speak of respect of an African. I speak of serious respect for African women. All our sisters have gone through, but I love and respect African people. Love us. On a serious week, I know that. Oh, let me finish with this. And then I'll go into what I was going to talk about today. Your philosophy, what you think, determines your thought pattern. Your thought pattern determines your attitude. Your attitude determines your behavior pattern, and your behavior pattern determines your actions. It begins with what you think, and it ends with what you do. If your philosophy is what you think, that our men ain't about nothing, they're vulgar, they're not, he just says the stuff I just read, and shouldn't be supported, because we're the only group, and you and I know it. You hear it. So if that is your philosophy, then that's how you treat them. They will treat them. You will not trust them. Yes, I understand many of them do not deserve trust because they have proven to be untrustworthy. I understand all of these things. But if your philosophy is that brothers are to be supported, to be encouraged, and to be standby, and to be and to give them that love and that respect, then that's how you'll treat them. It begins with what you think, and it ends with what you do. What you do for yourself depends upon what you think of yourself. And what you think of yourself depends upon what you know of yourself. And what you know of yourself depends upon what you have been told. That's why this is very relevant for today's conversation, because we have been told a lot of things. And unfortunately, those who have told us have never and will never have the interests of us as a people. Never. So what you think of yourself depends upon ultimately what you've been told. And the reason we think so badly of ourselves, I have a friend and I love him. Me and him have been friends for a very long time. You know, sometimes when I listen to him, you know, he has such a negative, of us and our ability to do right, think right, act right, you know. And of course, he don't want to hear me because I'm always putting the blame where it squarely belongs. I don't blame us. I understand that we have been forced into a position, into a system, that our minds have been captivated. Our minds, as I always say, these Europeans have put a vice grip on our minds. And if you understand that tool, you just can't open. That's why we can't think correctly. We can't think independently. We can't think of self-determination. We can't think of liberation. We can't think of sovereignty because our minds. And of course, to release that vice grip, there's a knob at the end of the handle because you just can't pull it apart. You just can't do that. But start to turn that knob. And what that knob turning symbolizes is acquiring knowledge of self. Getting understanding, getting comprehension, understanding who we are historically and culturally. And that knob begins to turn and turn and turn until suddenly the pressure is released, the tension is released, and bam, you open it up. And then not that you challenge Caucasians. There ain't a damn thing you can do and say about challenging Caucasians. But what you can do is challenge each other to respect one another, to love one another, trust one another, to work with one another, to build a new African reality. That's what must happen. It's what you've been told. We must not be the people who walked but left no footprints, who talked but had nothing meaningful to say, who labored but built nothing for themselves. And so we lay at your feet the builder's spade and shovel, the masons, troll and square, Africa's books of wisdom. Now go and build for eternity. Brother Lester Velt Middleton. Lester Velt Middleton. Remember I told y'all should go do that, man. Go to YouTube and put in Lester Velt Middleton and check out some of those interviews he did with our great warrior scholars, our ancestors. He is also an ancestor. I always love to hear the ancestors speak. I mean, you can hear whoever you want to hear. You can hear Garvey. You can hear George Washington Carver. Now, don't laugh when you hear George Washington Carver, because remember, he was, you know, he was neutered at a young age. So, you know, but what a beautiful man and what a spiritual man, you know. But you can let the ancestors speak. It's right there for you, you know. Brother, Brother Paul from around the way, on one of the apps we have, is, in fact, it's WhatsApp, get emails from him. And he sent me an email about a panel discussion yesterday of three elders on the panel talking about, are we African or are we black? You know, and a very good discussion. And I know that I've talked about this a number of times. And, of course, where I stand is that we are African. In fact, I don't like to even use the word black to describe us. In fact, when I read things to you and I see black, I either, if it's specifically talking about American Africans, I'll use that. If it's just talking about us in general, I'll just use African, because we are Africans. We're not black. Black is the color. Dr. Clark said, you know, we need to, when we talk about a people, you need to have land, history, and culture. You must conjure up that land, history, and culture. We're Africans. In fact, if you're old like me, then you could remember times of things that we called ourselves from being colored. You know, I know that early on, Absalom Jones, with the African Methodist Episcopal Church, used African. Prince Hall, the Prince Hall Masons, the African Lodge, you know. And, of course, they understood and they knew they were African. But, of course, after centuries of here and other generations of being here, and, of course, how you are suppressed being here and how you are denigrated and demeaned and degraded being here, then you look at Africa, because that's how they portrayed it, and look at it today. There are many people, I swear, they don't want to be African. Hell, some Africans don't want to be African. They sure in hell don't want to live there. Sad. It's pathetic. The richest continent on the planet that everybody wants to get to and get into and take resources from is ours. Damn it, it's ours. But we don't want to come together and throw off the petty differences and all the other insanity to come together to manage it. To manage the land, the resources. We could feed the world. In this day of crises, in this day of pandemic, we could have enough food for the world out of Africa itself alone. Because Africa has more land for planting and agriculture. Damn near everywhere. No, Africa does have some, quote, jungle. But there's more jungle in many other countries. Look at South America. Look at the Amazon. Of course, you've seen what's happening there. Bolsonaro, Trump's buddy, another fascist, another fool, is cutting down the rainforest, quickening, exacerbating climate change. And you see what Trump's trying to do in his last few weeks, doing all kind of crazy things. Trump is the worst president this country has ever had. That's hands down. At least other than try to have some semblance, but they were all a bunch of assholes too, you know, just being real, Barack included. Because I think that when you assume the presidency of the United States, what you are doing, I don't give a damn if you're a male or female or whatever, quote, nationality you are. If you're president of the United States, duly elected. Don't make no difference. You do the bidding of this system. You want to maintain and sustain and perpetuate this system. Are we African or are we black? And like I said, you know, there was a time that we didn't want to be called black. We were colored. You know, I grew up in the early 50s, but really I grew up in the 60s. That's, you know, that's why the decades you were born in, the following decade is really when you grow up, you know. So I grew up in the 60s. And the fact that my consciousness was elevated in the latter part of the 60s with the Black Power movement, the Panthers, the Republic of New Africa, serious African consciousness raising and so forth, you know. But prior to that, of course, in the late 50s, the death of Emmett Till, the Montgomery bus boycott, you know, sit-ins, freedom rides, all of those things, trying to integrate the society, trying to put us into a position where these crackers did not want us to be, you know, who fought adamantly against it, you know, and who still to this day, for all that has happened to us. And you can't even talk about reparations. You can't even talk about the repair. Speaking of reparations. And yet, every statistic in this country shows that we are adversely affected by whatever the hell it is. You name it. It's more profound in us than any damn body else. You name it. Health, we're at the bottom. Education. We're unemployment, you name it. Today, you know, you talk about hunger because, you know, everything's about hunger because of the pandemic and, of course, Thanksgiving being misgiving. And we'll talk about that Wednesday. Yeah, we'll talk about that Wednesday, you know, and all of the other things that shut up with that. Yeah, sorry. And so, man, stop it. I hope that's the last time that comes up. Apologize. But hey, what can I do? I'm at the mercy of the technology that's in front of me. And I'm just trying to do the best that I can. And I hope, hopefully, that I can just send this message. Get this information out, you know. I just read a thing that happened over the internet that I thought was kind of cool, you know, and it talked about, what is that at? I wrote it down. I thought it was something, you know. It says, speak in such a way that others love to listen to you. Listen in such a way that others love to speak to you. I like that. I do. I like that. Yep. We got a caller already this morning. 646-646. Good morning.
Good morning, my good brother, Odios.
What's happening,
man? How was your weekend?
My weekend was fine, Jay. In fact, it was good. It was a good weekend. It was a good weekend.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I see that... the sickle feds are getting ready for Misgiving Day.
Yeah.
I never understand how people could celebrate that anyway. I just, once I learned the history of it from Baba Shango, I cut it out. I wouldn't celebrate it. I just don't understand how you could bring a bunch of family members together in honor of someone being slaughtered and mistreated.
Yeah, well, what happens in all of this, you know, how they rationalize it to say, that was then, this is how we do it now. And it doesn't mean that. This is what it means now, see? So they sanitize it and they flower it up, you know? And so that's how they do that. Because the truth, they can't handle the truth, the real meaning. I remember when I learned long time ago, the meaning, the real meaning. In fact, I was reminiscing about being a kid. I remember the grade school I went to, and they, you know, right before we got out, we had some treats, and the teacher, Caucasian, I just remember a Caucasian lady. I remember where the classroom, in fact, it was the annex, the new portion of this old school building. And in that class, we made headsets for one for being a pilgrim and one for being an indigenous person. I don't know, remember what I was. Hopefully I was an indigenous person. But, you know, and they talked about, you know, what it means and how good it was with the great things that the Europeans had done and that kind of thing. And that's what the story has been.
What lie was that?
Well, that's the story that has been told to elementary school children and even middle school children. In fact, even high school children for decades. Decades. And in fact, that's what Donald Trump wants to do. He don't want you to talk about the destruction and the evilness and eliminating the Wampanoag and other tribes and so forth and taking their land and all of these things. He wants to have the 1776 Patriot learnings or doctrines or, you know, lessons. You know, you don't want to talk about, you know, the evil that America's done. America is great. America is good. America is the beacon on the hill. You know, America is the example. You know, but look at the indigenous people. Aside from some indigenous people who take advantage of the casinos, particularly out in the East, many of the indigenous people are suffering tremendously on lands that, of course, they Europeans, the government, here's the land, now here, go. You know, instead of saying, here's the land, we're going to help you build it up, we're going to put money into it to build up infrastructure, water. There are lands that indigenous people are on in Alaska and in this country. They don't have running water. They have an outhouse. I mean, just being real. See, so, you know, but the question for today is, are we African or are we black, Jay?
Oh, we African. That ain't even a question. I mean, you know, that right there is silliness. I mean, I don't even get into those type of discussions no more. It's useless. I mean, what is the purpose of trying to explain to someone who and what they are when other people don't waste their time doing it? So why should I waste mine? You know what I mean? I mean, at some point in time, you just have to say to yourself, I'm an African. That's where my people origin from. It's who I am. It's where I want to be. It's what I want to be. A Chinese don't want to be a yellow man or a red man,
right,
or a blue
exactly.
Man.
Exactly.
And that's the thing.
And that's the thing. You know, the European who's basically took it upon himself when he came out of that medieval or dark age and had his so-called renaissance, his so-called awakening, and began to go around the world taking everybody's stuff in the name of, he began naming things. He began putting labels on things and so forth. And so it is, he has taken the leadership of what it is to happen in the world, because everybody else were just, they were living their lives. But the European, his whole thing was, we are better, we are superior. We have superior weaponry, we have superior ideology, we have superior modes of doing things and so forth. So, and then he imposed that on people. So when he talked about the racial classifications, and of course, you can track this, you can pinpoint this to at least two individuals in the 1600s, the 17th century. Johann Blumenbach of Göttingen University and Carol Linnaeus. And they both subscribed to this stratification of Caucasoid, which is, of course, the top position, which is Caucasian, Mongoloid, you know, and Negroid with us at the bottom. And there's some other classifications in that because, you know, just like you said, you don't want to be a yellow man. They're the one that came up with, they called Asian people yellow. They called indigenous people red. But, of course, they're white. And even though they didn't call us black, but, of course, Negro in Spanish means black, you know. And so for a long time, we were colored. Even though, as I mentioned earlier, if you didn't hear, Prince Hall, he had the African Lodge. Aslam Jones, he had the African Methodist Episcopal Church. So we used Africans at the time, you know, but we had been made to be ashamed of African. And so we were colored. The NAACP was the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. And in fact, that organization was started even before the Universal Negro Improvement Association was started by Marcus Garvey. You know,
right.
But all of those things, all of those particular classifications are BS. The only one that is real is Africa. Oh, now, Brother Oshie, Africa is not African. Yes, it is. Africa is an African word. Now, some people want to do El Cable Line. If you want to do that, fine. But the bottom line is we are an African people. We're not Negroes. We're not colored. We ain't black. We African. And so what I'm proposing is that we make a distinction. We make an identity distinction. Because there are many people, as you know, Jay, who are black and who definitely don't want to be African.
I was in a discussion this weekend about this Afro-Latino and white Latino mentality and how really destructive it is. And, you know, you have to take sides and you have to be able to identify yourself in who you are if you're going to do anything. That's why I don't play with that white Latino, because they're the enemy, because they're dealing on the premise that they white. So if you deal on the premise that you white, how are you going to have any love or do anything for African people? I mean, you know, it just comes to the point to whereas you got to call people out. And if you don't call them out, you just get what you deserve. And that's why, you know, last week they had this situation with Rosa Clemente and Eva LaGoria, in regards to how they define themselves. And if you listen to the interview that they had, you could tell that it's really, really hard for that white Latino to see themselves as an African Latino and be able to put themselves in the position of thinking, because they're so indoctrinated in that Europeanism. Even if they've read a couple of books, they still don't want to deal from an Afro-Latino perspective.
No, because they've been made to be ashamed of it. They've been made to feel ashamed of it. It's just like one episode of Moving On Up to the East Side in the deluxe apartment in the sky. The neighbors, Roxy Rooker, you know, played a character that she really plays in real life. American African woman married to a Caucasian, Lenny Kravitz's mama. And of course she had a daughter and a son in the sitcom series. The daughter was going to marry Lionel, George Jefferson's son. And of course she's an attractive young lady, but she's brown skin. The son, when he finally came and been revealed, he was Caucasian looking. I would never forget the episode. In fact, I was living in Norfolk, Virginia at the time. And the episode where he came and she was upset. Why was she upset? And she said it in the episode. I wish I could go back and get that damn episode. Just that one. She said, because I wish it was me. I wish I'd look white instead of the color that I am. I wish it was me, because so many of our people, because of European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, which has been imposed upon us deeply, have a such negative image of ourselves as being African. Don't want to be African. Don't want to look that way. Don't want to look black. Because
you're so... You know, there was a reason for that, though.
What's that?
There was a reason for that.
Yeah.
For people to accept that mulatto.
Yes.
Because you got to remember that mulatto...
Yes, it's the
was
buffer.
Not really accepted in the black community.
No, because that mulatto is the buffer between the Caucasian, who's the manipulator, who's the underminer, and the wills and aspirations for us as a people. That mulatto is there, has the and he or she is shown the favors, just like, you know, she works in the big house, or he works in the big house, and you's out in the fields, you know. It's just like Sankofa, the movie Sankofa, Ali Garama's movie, if you can remember. Sankofa. The same thing,
right.
You know. It's in fact, Dr. Clark said what he said, he didn't do it, but he said he wanted to write a book on the devastation or something about the bastard in our history.
Right.
The role of the bastard.
I heard him lecture about it.
Yeah, the role of the bastard.
He talked about it.
Yeah.
It's the most dangerous. Hey, listen, to be honest, it's the most dangerous species in the black community as far as, you know, if we're going to be truthful about it in our community, that mulatto. That mulatto is dangerous, man. He is the buffer, like you said, between all things evil. Because they have an agenda, which they don't really understand, is to promote this so-called thing called inclusion and diversity and all of that other madness in order for them to have a place in white society. But because of their skin color, they really don't have no place because they not want it.
No.
They not want it other than for sexual perversion.
Yeah. Let me get another caller in. 602-602. Good morning.
Good morning, Brother Oshia and Brother Jia.
Good morning.
Good morning, my brother Marcus.
How you doing, dear brother?
You know, I'm all right. I'm doing good, brother. There was one Dominican brother, Dueno. One Dominican brother by the name of Carlos Cooks.
Cooks.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I just don't know about Carlos Cooks.
Yes.
He avoided the media. See, he wasn't in front of the camera all the time. He said, look, we have to get down with the work and do the work. But he is a Garveyite. See, he formed a movement called the African Nationalist Pioneer Movement that picked up the baton in 1940 to the 1960s in Harlem. And they have the true information on black. That's where the buy black campaign came out of, you know. And the Miss African Standard of Natural Beauty came out of. But they don't talk about him. But
right.
You see, he was an atheist. You see, he took the religious element out of the Garvey movement. You see? So that's why you don't hear they talk about him a lot, because he was an atheist. He was a proud atheist. He said, look, take that, you know, crap
that's
out.
Right. That's right. I'm telling you.
Yes.
You know, no, Marcus mm-hmm. Carlos Cooks was on point, and any other brother or sister who says to us in our situation, knowing that these spiritual systems, these religious systems are the crux of our problem. Christianity and Islam are crux of our problem, particularly Christianity, because Christianity has a serious hold on our minds. There's a fear.
A hole ain't the world.
A hole ain't the world.
And the continent is like a hole to know.
Oh, God, it's ridiculous. I haven't been, listen, I haven't been all over the continent, but everywhere that I've been to Egypt. Of course, that is Islamic. But there's some Christianity in Kemet or Egypt as well. I've been to Senegal, and which is a lot of Islamic. But I've been to Ghana many times, and Christianity in Ghana is sickening. There's posters of white Jesus. Yeah. It is sickening.
Don't talk about Nigeria.
Yeah, oh, same there.
Don't talk about that. They have the richest preachers on earth.
They do.
Yes.
They have the richest Christian preachers. They are the top 10 most money-making preachers on the planet. Nigeria has, I think, two or three. I know they have two. Two or three in the top 10. T.D. Jakes, Creflo Dollar, any motherfucker. They ain't even up in that.
They got a big statue of Jesus in I think, Abuja.
Yeah,
Lagos, where them rich, Nigerians built a big statue, you know. So it's just pure confusion. Hey, I like what Chairman Mao when he came to power. What Chairman Mao did.
That's right.
All the pimps, all the drug dealers. He said, "Look, I'm gonna give you 2 years." To clean up your act. All the imams, the bishops, the reverends, all the religious leaders, he put them in the dungeon. And he said, "Look, when God comes, we're going to sign your release. That's what we have to do. We need to lock them behind in the dungeon."
Yeah.
I said, "Look, when God comes, we sign your release."
Let me ask you this question. Marcus and Oshie, let me ask you this question. Was Mao right or wrong based on where China is today?
He was right.
He was on point.
He was right. Because they used to have signs that said, "No dogs and Chinese allowed" in the 50s. Do you remember that? They used to have those signs. "No dogs and Chinese allowed." But look, I heard they said Mao used to come to Harlem and listen to what Garvey was saying and took it and ran with it. And hey, where China is today, but we didn't take it. We rejected it. So we're still in the position we're in. Hey, I'll mute my phone and continue listening.
All right, Brother Marcus, thank you.
Marcus, let me ask you this right quick. Imagine if we as Africans took that type of cultural position that Mao took. Do you imagine what we could do if we shut it down, if we got rid of all of the invaders, if we got rid of all of the traitors, and we regrouped? Do you know within 25 to 50 years?
Less time than that.
Could be the power of the planet. If we did what Mao did. Because if you think about it, China is now the world's biggest superpower on basically every level on the planet. But because of media propaganda, people still think America is number uno. Now, mind you, America doesn't produce or manufacture anything of value to the world other than its weapons. In the way that the world is developing and growing, America ain't even going to be that powerful because the other nations are going to have the same type of weaponry to protect themselves on a certain level. I'll leave you lastly with this one. When you saw what happened 2 or 3 years ago with the Chinese and the soybean farmers, that right there just shows you the weakness of America, because the Chinese said to hell with you, went to Brazil and replaced their inventory of soybeans, and America at that point in time has not been able to go no place in the world and sell soybeans. That tells you it all. But nobody will never put that into true critique. Because the reality is, to build an empire, you must be able to exploit your natural materials. But, and America ain't going nowhere around the world opening up those type of avenues to the farmers in this country.
Well, one of the things that, you know, European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege is a team sport. So you still have Australia. You still have other areas. You still have South America, Central America, that identify being Caucasian, that identify being European. They embrace their Europeanness more so. It's just like we just mentioned earlier, Jay, about, you know, some of our people, you know, who are so-called Latino, but they look more African. Just like this one Puerto Rican I was talking to many years ago, and she had a nice, beautiful fro, you know, and she was pretty conscious sister, you know, but she talked about her family and how everybody, you know, kind of, even her, I could sense some hurt in her, how she was treated as opposed to her sister. It's just like what I just mentioned about in that, George Jefferson episode, where the daughter was just so distraught and just hateful that the fact that she wished that she had been born looking like a Caucasian. I got to take a break. When I come back from the break, we'll have more discussion. Are we African or are we black? This is African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. You stay right with us. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Thank you.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. That was We Are One with Althea Renee on flute and Jeanette Harris on sax. And then, of course, All I Do Is Think About You, Jeanette Harris on sax. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, and, of course, today being Monday, Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8, Public Affairs Programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Wahad Ahmed, and then followed by, from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central, Dr. Cambon and her daughter, Nakaki Cambon, and then that's followed by, from 9 to 10, Conversation, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from 9 to 10. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10, and then on Thursday from 7 to 9, after 7 with host Shani B. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. From 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council, hosted by Brother Alfonso Watkins. And then on Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, okay, getting back to this discussion, are we African or are we black? Brother Paul sent me a link. There was a discussion in the UK yesterday with three elders and a moderator and three distinguished brothers. Loved listening to them. And, of course, the conversations, are we African or are we black? And, you know, I know that we use that interchangeably. You know, I've trained myself and, you know, to when I see particular words, just like I don't never use the word slaves. We're not slaves. We were captives. So if you hear me, I won't use that to describe us. I don't use the word black to describe us. I use either African or American African, you know. In fact, I use American African because we're not African American. African American is African without any memory and American without any privilege, you know. So I use American, African. Africa is the noun. Africa is a noun. And a noun describes a person, place, or thing. There's a word that goes in front of the noun, Africa, which is Africa is a suffix then. And what it describes is what African you are. If you are here in America, you are American African. If I was in Jamaica, I'd be Jamaican African, Ghanaian African, Brazilian African, British African, French African. You get the picture. We're Africans. Just like it was stated in the conversation, they wanted to give us all these other titles because they knew that if we embraced Africa and understood that we are African and worked hard to be African, think African, love African, it's over for the European. We have released the vice grip that he had placed on our minds. And now we move as one. And then on the continent, Jay mentioned it. What if we had done something like what Mao Zedong did in China? Kick everybody out, imprison the lawyers and all the other stuff, rearrange the culture and control. Yes, today China is China holds a lot of America's debt. And if China says, hey, I'm going to cash in on the debt, wow, that'd be deep, wouldn't it? Bankrupt, you know? No, China is a player. China is a world player. But what I don't like about China is what China's doing in Africa. Now, granted, it's a lot better than what Europeans were doing in Africa, particularly United States. Because the only thing they did is take the resources out. The thing Europeans did was take the resources out, take the human resources and the mineral resources. Didn't build up nothing. If there was a railroad, that was for the benefit of moving those resources from wherever in the inland to the coast to be shipped out to be, you know, to Europe, you know. In fact, when the French, which still holds a lot of land and influence on the continent, the French, God, I hate them. But I hate the British even more. I hate both of them. And I know hate's a strong word, but when you understand the history and what they have done and what they continue to do and how the image that they perpetuate to the world, like they innocent, like everything they got was achieved honestly, righteously, then you understand, you know. But for us, we must embrace Africa. Because there are many people who are black. And a lot of, there are some people who love being black. You know, just like there's a poem that Smokey Robinson did. And I like Smokey, but I was upset because in the poem that Smokey Robinson did, if you can go online and you can go on to Def Comedy Jam or Def Poetry. And because he doesn't put Smokey in, and you hear you probably heard it. They play it. I know they play it on a radio station back in Milwaukee. They would play it, you know. And Smokey said, "I ain't African. I ain't going to Africa. I love being black." Well, you know, that's the problem. You know, black is a color. And see, what happens with black is that they didn't want to, it's adverse or opposite of being white. We want to be black, but what white folks have, we want. We want the jobs, we want the cars, we want the opulence, we want the capitalism. We want it in black because we cool. Stephen A. Smith, Steve Harvey, there's a number of them. They black. They ain't African. They love materialism. They love capitalism. They got to get theirs. They love living in gated communities and subdivisions. They black. That's the problem here in Atlanta. A lot of black folks here in Atlanta. Yes, I connected with the African community, beautiful people that are here, people who think African, who believe in independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. But reality is that thinking here, I ain't talking about just here in Atlanta, I'm talking about here in America and in the diaspora and unfortunately on the continent, is marginalized. But we must break the chains. We must break the monopoly that these Caucasians have on our minds. And we must kick the Negro mentality to the side. Kick it to the curb, as the saying goes. I'm saying we make a declaration. Either you in or your ass is out. We African. You in? We African. We ain't black. I know you want to use it synonymously. I had this conversation with Renoco. You know, I respect him. You know, that's his point. I'm going to constantly advocate on it. I had some conversation with some others. But I'm saying, to end any confusion, because if there's an entity that is purporting itself to be black and don't want to be African, I ain't going to be talking about being black. I ain't associating with them. Because I remember one time we didn't want to be black. Call somebody black. You was looking for a fight. So I ain't black. I'm a Negro. I'm colored. And then black became beautiful. Say it loud. You know? That's one of the problems. And what happened, one of the problems that too that happened on the continent with the Organization of African Unity. We didn't have the ability to defend it. We had no army. We just had some writings, some proposals, no teeth and none of that shit. No ability to defend it. We at this stage of African life, which is hanging in the damn balance, must kick to the curb this ignorance and come together on us, on our Africanness, and develop a strategy to take Africa. Kick the despots out, kick the neocolonialists out, kick all those rulers that, damn, you want to be a president of a country. I just want to be the president of this little country while all around you and the country that you're president of, the people are starving. The people are dying. When you have the potential to educate and have a standard of living for everybody on the continent. I ain't talking about living large, but I'm talking about a good living. Where we're not destitute. We're not living in filth and squalor. We're not poor. Those places that were like that, we just gonna take the bulldozer, cover them over, plant something, and build new. I mean, they're talking about building a Wakanda. In Ghana. Talking about building Wakanda in Ghana. Now, you know, I ain't down with building Wakanda. I'm down if we are solid. I'm down if we're solid. Has, you know, because to me, whatever you build, that is Wakanda. But we're just talking about in the, you know, building a city. And I've seen some photos and so forth. But what's most important is Africa united. Not that you build a Wakanda in Ghana, and not that Rwanda is the cleanest country and city, one of the cities in Africa, or the beauty of Tanzania. No, it is Africa in itself. That's the problem, dear brothers and sisters. It is all ours. We, in fact, when we come together on ours, we'll make a statement to those folks in the north, in Liberia, in Egypt, in Algeria, in Mauritania, in Morocco. You in? If you in, you can't be doing what the hell you've been doing. You ain't gonna be neutering our people, enslaving our people. No. If you in, you African. If your ass, I want to be African, your ass is out. Okay. Let me take a caller here. All right. Caller unknown. Caller. Paul, is that you? Unfortunately, I got a caller unknown. Don't know. Okay.
Sorry. Brother Ochi, sorry, it's me.
Hey, Brother Paul. How you doing, man? Thanks a lot for that heads up. I listened to the program. It was very good. Appreciate that. Appreciate the information you provide.
I'm glad you found it interesting. Yes, you know, at the end of the day, it's like you absolutely rightfully said, some of our esteemed elders, PAC, you know, making their point. It's very interesting, yeah. But I'd like to give my take on it, if you don't mind.
Please do.
I'm sure you're familiar with the academic known as Chancellor Williams.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know what you feel about him as an academic and a researcher in such. But one thing I admire about his work is his dedication. And he's, you know, I kind of absolutely respect the fact that he didn't just put together his information from one standpoint. He traveled the world. He came to, he went to America. He was obviously in America. He went to the institutions, let's call them the white extremist institutions. He didn't become a white extremist. He still remained African or black, as you don't like to call it. He also came to the UK as well. He went to Oxford, and he took on the academics, white extremist academics at Oxford. And then he went on to travel almost every country in Africa doing his research. Some of the countries wouldn't allow him in. Because they were frightened that he might be an American spy or some sort of American agent. He eventually, through his determination and attitude, got into those countries. So when I was reading that and his history, I realized that this man was dedicated to finding the truth. And he wasn't going to be persuaded put off by anybody. He went right into the brain of the devil to take him on, right here in the UK and in America. And then some of the things he said, you know, on this point you raised, he talked about the naming, how we name ourselves and how others name us. And he talked about being an African-American and the confusion with naming. One of the points he made is that he talked about the Christian naming and how, this is what he said, how Muslims take on an Arab name and feel that's better than a Christian name. And in his opinion, it's the same confusion going on. That's what he said. And then he went on to say, talked about this phrase he called Kemet. And according to him, Kemet referred to the Egyptian hieroglyphic for Kemet, referred to the black land. That's what the Europeans got out of it. They talked about the black land, but their interpretation was that that was a reference to the flooding of the Nile, where the silt came out of the Nile and flooded the land.
This is true. Black
silt. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But he argued against that. He said that wasn't the case. He said that they had it wrong. He said that the people themselves refer to themselves as black, me Kemet, of the black land. That's what he said. Mm-hmm. Now, I've done a little bit of research on that, and I find this interesting. I don't really hear a lot of people talking about where this word Kemet and where it came from. Some people say it's not genuine, but I don't know. But the bottom line is that when the Arabs took over that part of Africa, they renamed Kemet. They gave it the acronym Al-Kemet, Al-Kemet, mm-hmm. right? Interpreting the African mystery system, meaning the people of the black land.
Right, just like the word alchemy, or chemistry coming out of that. Yeah, go ahead.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. The Europeans created the term alchemy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the alchemist in Europe in the Middle Ages was the original science.
Right.
The Europeans, which they stole from the African mystery system, what the Arabs call alchemy. So what I'm saying is that we have an elder recently. He talks about the pharaonic mind, the concept of the pharaonic mind, and how he explains it is that the pharaonic mind is the mind of the pharaohs. They were not in belief. They were in knowledge of self, meaning that in the age we're in, the age of Aquarius, this represents man walking across the universe with a bowl of water. Water is truth. Like we put a poor libation or truth. Mm-hmm. We're looking for truth. So what he's saying is that we talk about the African mystery system Kemet and how the people saw themselves. For me personally, how I see interpreted that this, whatever you call blackness, you say more. We say, you hear a lot of people talk about more. Well, more is a Spanish word for black. Moorish means more black. In England, they use the term blackamoor, which they've actually taken out of the dictionary. Up to a certain time, they use the term blackamoor, which obviously was a term meaning black or black origin. So, all these terms identify, for me personally, because everything is in a state of blackness. The whole world is in a state of blackness. Delbert Blair, I don't know if you're familiar with the Delbert Blair.
Delbert Blair, yes, I am. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he made a video. He said, made a really strange, it was very strange for me at the time. He said, no light come from the sun. It's funny, I thought that was ludicrous. But then when I started to look at it, it was absolutely true. Light doesn't come from the sun. What we're calling light is actually friction between the rays of the sun, seven rays of the sun, gamma, infrared, etc., etc., and its interaction with the planet Earth, because both are spinning and they create friction. That's what we call light. So he's right. So what I'm saying is that everything is really in a perpetual state of darkness. You can call it blackness. And black really represents, it's not just about the color. It represents the origin. It represents the first. You understand? Everything else is temporary. Everything, what comes about, you call it light, call it what you want, gamma, you call it x-ray, call it what it want, it's always secondary. Blackness is the original state of everything.
Yeah, because out of blackness comes everything. You know, absolutely. You're right. Out of blackness comes everything. Yeah.
So when people argue it's just about color, it's not just about color. It's not just about color. It's about the origin. It's about the original concept of absolutely everything. You understand? For a seed to manifest itself, it has to be in a state of darkness. So baby has to be in the mother's womb in a state of darkness. So, or blackness, you can call it what you want. But I totally understand. You see, I think what the European has done with his bastardized language, he's bastardized all the terms and made them literal.
Paul, that's why I'm saying it the way I'm saying it, to end the confusion. Absolutely. I agree with you. But because of how Europeans have made, when he developed that caste system. Now, the original caste system, of course, came out of India long before the Europeans. That was the Dravidians and these Caucasians coming out of the Caucasus Mountains and coming into India and wanting to conquer them. They're the ones that came up with this caste system. When they imposed it on the Dravidians, giving those who are lightest the top position and those who are darker to the darkest at the bottom position, now even calling them the untouchables. In fact, there was an Indian prime minister who, I remember reading this, he was going to be in line to be prime minister because the other prime minister had died some many, you know, centuries ago. But they refused him to be the prime minister because he was too dark. He was too dark. Because one thing, there's a movie called Mississippi Masala with Denzel Washington. And he falls in love with this Indian from India, you know. And of course, their family, they run, I think they have a liquor store in Mississippi, Mississippi Masala. They have a liquor store and their other relatives, they have a hotel. All of that's true because that's what happens. But he... The father of the sister, he used to live in Uganda, but they were kicked out of Uganda by Idi Amin, you know, because the thing about the Indians, just like with Gandhi had no love for African people. Gandhi called what they call them Kaffirs, just like calling them a nigger. He had no love for African people. That's why, to me, here in America, right down the street from me, literally, the Dr. King Center have a statue of Gandhi because he said that he supported Gandhi's idea of nonviolent social change. Well, that was a tactic that was necessary because they had no damn weapons. The British would have dusted their ass. They had no weapons. So they've sacrificed themselves in protests and so forth to gain, finally to break the British and get their independence. But Gandhi was no friend to African people. You know, and so the whole idea of race consciousness, color confrontation and consciousness is relatively new. It's not an old concept. It's not since the beginning of time. But the Europeans want you to believe that it was the beginning of time. They want you to believe that it began with the Bible. It began with Christianity. When you see all the artifacts and you see all the pictures, Caucasian. You know, so the reality is that that's why I'm saying we make a choice. I understand what you're saying, Brother Paul, you know, in a physiological way. I'm saying in a cultural and historical way, we are African people. And there has to come a time. And I believe that time is now. We don't have time to waste, that we stake that claim to be African. And those who want to be African, you in. If you don't want to be African, that's fine. You out. You want to be black? You want to be colored? You want to be an American? You want to be British? Fine. You stay your ass there. But here's where we're going to go. And those who are on the continent who love Britain, because I've talked to some in Ghana. It was ridiculous. Still praising Britain, you know, or France or any other European country. You want to go? Go. Because what we must do is develop, change the dynamic, have there a place for salvation for African people. It's shown that hell ain't here. In fact, to me, when things start to get tougher, and they will, and they are, we are disposable. In fact, that's what they want to happen on this planet, to eliminate us on this planet. Don't you think that the Chinese and others are fighting over African land and Africa's resources, not African people? Get their ass off the planet. But we're the first people on this planet. We're the first people on this planet. And the reason why other people are on the planet is because of us. I believe in a monogenesis, not a polygenesis. I believe in a mono. I believe like Dr. Sheikh Anta Jajab. Jab said human life began in Central East Africa, migrate from that point. And what makes human beings different is human beings' ability to adapt to environments that they find themselves in. Europeans, Africans came up into Europe, got cut off by an ice age. And in any environment that you go into, either you adapt or you die. Either you adapt or you die. When they got cut off by that ice age, they had to adapt. No longer did they need that tall, slender body with deep melanin. Everybody, all humans got melanin. Everything on the planet got melanin to great degrees. Europeans have less of it. So no longer did you need that melanin in your skin. No longer did you need that slender body with close curled hair, broad nose, and thick lips. You began to have a stocky body. You had hair over your body. Your nose became thin to warm the cold air before it got into your lungs. Your lips became thin, just like they call us looking like monkeys. No, their ass looked like monkeys. They the one who got them thin ass lips. Sometimes no lips at all. I used to work for a guy. His wife used to paint lips on her. She used to make, anyway. So anyway, but they're the ones that are like that, you see. And so, but because of their development, their human development, they became harsh because it's a harsh environment. It was survival of the fittest. If they see a kill and somebody else made it, they would go kill them and snatch their kill. They were brutalizing to women. The stuff I read earlier on the Inye Sesim, talking about how they deal with sex, is brutal. That's who they are. They are the most violent prone people on the damn planet. And they run the damn planet at this moment. So I'm saying is that we must understand that. Are there other examples, Brother Oshi, of adaptability to the environment? Yes. As we move further east and going across mountains, what happens if it snows? I know it doesn't snow very much in the UK, does it, Paul? But I know it gets cold.
Well, it hasn't recently, yeah. Maybe, but in the past it has, definitely.
Yeah. If there was a snowy day, today it snowed. It snowed, it snowed all night. Tomorrow morning, we get up, the sun is shining, and there's snow on the ground. What are we going to be doing? Squinting. Because the glare from the sun off the snow causes, you know, for you to squint. So as human beings began to move, our melanin decreased. The hair that was necessary to insulate us increased. And yet the Asian people, what do they look like? They have slanted eyes. That was a survival mechanism that was developed through adaptability to environment. Are there another examples? Look at Australia, what they call Australia. Look at the people who they call Aborigines, how they look. They have dark skin. Some of them have broad nose, thick lips. And they're stocky, but they have stringy hair. Why? Because at night in there, it's cold and it's arid. But in the day, it's hot. So human beings have an ability to adapt to those environments. But we are the first people on the planet. And yet, we are the most disrespected people on the planet because of the rise of a vicious entity of human, the European, who dominate and control the planet and who are very violent prone individuals. In fact, at this day, they are the ones with weaponry that can blow the damn planet up 10 times over. And everybody else feel they got to get weaponry. It's a damn shame that on a planet with diminishing resources, that we would have to be at each other. It's a damn shame that everybody's jockeying for their position to eliminate other humans on the planet and to take their resources. It's a damn shame what America did to Muammar Gaddafi and to Saddam Hussein to take their resources. It's a damn shame that you have an entity that is so selfish and so damn greedy. And yet I'm saying, that's what I'm saying. No, let us embrace who we are as African. Let us come together around that. No matter where we are, if you want to stay here in America, fine. But support the idea of us, because that is our connection. That is our salvation. It ain't no damn Jesus. It's Africa. It's Africa. Has a landmass with multiple, still to this day, it has more resources than anywhere else, even though it has been plundered. I just thought about this. I just saw this article about 10 of the, because now is the time that they give out the Rhodes Scholarship. And so on the text, it mentioned about how proud they were that 10 American Africans will be Rhodes Scholars. And I'm saying to myself, do in the hell do they know who a Rhodes Scholar is, who started it? Do they know about Cecil Rhodes? Do they know who in the hell this man was and what he did and how he got all this damn money? Do they know who Cecil Rhodes was? Because accepting a scholarship in the name of Cecil Rhodes, the so-called prestigious Rhodes Scholarship, is tantamount or the same as a European Jew accepting a scholarship in the name of Adolf Hitler. You know it wouldn't happen. I'm not saying don't take the scholarship, but you must know who it is. And I bet you any money that a Rhodes Scholar is not going to be an African-centered person. I bet you that. I bet you any money that any brother or sister who accepted a Rhodes Scholarship to go to Oxford. Where did they go? Did Oxford or Cambridge? Where did they go? Oxford.
Absolutely. Oxford or Cambridge, yes. Any one of those institutions. I think him himself, if my memory serves me right, I think he was a participant at Oxford.
In Oxford, okay. Well, regardless, I bet you any money they're not going to train them to be independent thinkers, African-centered thinkers. I bet you they're not going to train them to challenge European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege. So that's what I'm saying. We must make a determination. Let me get some more folks in this subject before we run out of time. We're almost there. Brother Marcus.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Good brother.
Yeah.
No, all I have to say, if Africa lives and the rest die, we win. So,
that's right.
That is the prize. If all else dies and Africa lives, we win. So Africa is the prize. That's what I'm striving for. Hell with everything else. Just focus on the motherland, you know, and if we focus on the motherland, then we will win the struggle in spite of what we see with all those Chinese. It's just those ignorant leaders over there making these deals with these people. Yeah. You can make deals with people, but you don't let the people come in and take your resources, you know. So these ignorant people, they have running the show over there. But again, we just got to agitate the people. Because once we agitate the people will sweep these fools out.
Thank you, Brother Marcus. The other thing is, many of the leaders, the so-called misleadership in Africa, are trained in Europe, particularly in Britain, and trained here in America. So they have that allegiance. Brother Jay, 646.
You know, that's the funny thing about it, Oshie, is if the oppressor's going to train you, then your allegiance is going to be to the oppressor that trained you. Now, I don't know if there's as many Africans going over to China to be educated like they are to the U.S. and Europe.
Yeah, there are. In fact, I read a piece on that. They were mistreated tremendously, the Africans in China. They were in this some kind of apartment building. They were kicked out, because China can get cold, and they were kicked out, you know. And so, yeah. So,
you know, the funny thing is, here it is, the Chinese are going over to Africa to marry our women and all of that.
Yeah.
And we allowing it to happen so that now there's just going to be another country that's going to be bastardized.
And the whole purpose for the Chinese marrying African women is the stake of the land, and to make their claim that those offspring will make that claim. Like I said, they're trying to bring in 300 million Chinese into Africa. Let me get Mama Nabantu in here because I want her to do something for me. Good afternoon, Mama Nabantu.
Good afternoon.
I want you, before we get off, to say that pledge to think African, to be African, because I would appreciate if you could do that for me.
Oh, not a problem. Not a problem.
I definitely would appreciate that for all our listeners, because you know, I know there are not a lot of us, unfortunately, who want to be African. And I ain't just talking about wearing African clothing with a, you know, put a gele or a dashiki, and, you know, change the name. That was, for me personally, that was what I wanted to do, because I fell in love with Africa and Africans, you know, many decades ago. And so I took Kwanzaa, the principles of Kwanzaa, very seriously. I took self-determination very seriously, to name ourselves and speak for ourselves. I took that seriously, and I went and changed. So I changed my name legally. This is my name, Oshiemi Adelabu. It is my name, you know. And so, but I don't advocate name changes for our people, because there are some brothers and sisters that have beautiful names, given names, African names, some of them even Muslim names, but they do heinous and evil things. So it's not about a name. It's about the mind. So I advocate a mind change. I believe that once our minds are right, everything else will fall into place. And if we understand that we are an African people, then we will love Africa and we will love Africans, and we will put the blame where it squarely belongs. We won't hate ourselves. We will begin to love and respect ourselves and respect our women, build good families. All of these things are possible if we embrace that. But if we continue on the path that we're on, you know, it's going to be very difficult. So at this time, my sister, you give us the pledge. Because I know that, you know, a lot of times, you know, we want to, but you are bombarded. You're bombarded 24/7, 365 with images and notions of your inferiority and your inability. You are bombarded. And no matter where we are, whether you're in the UK or whether we're here, whether we're in the Caribbean, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. You're constantly bombarded. And you're made to believe that there's nothing that you can do. You're made to believe, to build in you distrust, to build in you an inferiority complex, to build in you the idea that there, you know, that my lot in life is what it is, you know, and I'm just happy. You know, I don't know about you, but there's this Negro named Jesse Lee Peterson. And I just caught him the other day just thumbing through some YouTube stuff. And I saw, but he was, guess what? He was interviewing, and I'm trying, I would love to get that brother on my program, Grandmaster Jay of the, you know, NFAC, of the NFAC. You know what that is, the No Fucking Around Coalition. And he was interviewing him, and it was a good interview. He was slamming him. He was slamming Jesse Lee Peterson, because Jesse Lee Peterson is just a Negro to no end. And I was very upset with Tariq Nasheed, because on Hidden Colors 5, I don't know why he has Jesse Lee Peterson doing some commentary on Hidden Colors 5, saying something. I mean, like, damn. But anyway, I don't know. Maybe that's his attempt for either humor or some, I guess, another Negro perspective. I don't know. Mama Nabantu, are you ready, dear?
I am.
All right. Okay, my brothers and sisters, Mama Nabantu.
Okay. Just to want to say hello to everybody. And this particular pledge used to, every word you see that's in it, it says African, used to be black. But we changed it to African.
Ashe.
About 30 years ago. Because we felt that African was more appropriate than black. So I'm going to say the pledge, and then afterwards, everybody can chime in with the seven Harambes and holding the last one as long as we can. All right. So here we go. For the fruition of African power, for the triumph of African nation, we pledge to our African nation, to the building of a better people and a better world. Our total devotion, our total resources, and the total power of our mortal lives. We are the first and the last, the Alpha and Omega. We pledge to think African, speak African, love African, pray African, and be African, because we are African. We'll do African things today to ensure us of the African sovereign nation tomorrow. And so here we go on the count of Tatu. We'll do seven Harambe, Moja, and Billy. Tatu. Harambe.
Harambe. Harambe. Harambe. Harambe. Harambe. Harambe.
Let's all pull together, brothers and sisters.
Ashe. Ashe. Harambe. Let's pull together. Remind me of that one I speak about. In fact, I saw it on Facebook. It's the one where the European tells the kids, see this bucket of fruit, this bowl of fruit? I want y'all to run a race, all the little kids around, from this point to that tree down there. I want you to run a race. And the one that gets there first will have this big bucket of fruit, this big basket of fruit. All the kids went together. You say, well, no. I want, no. He says, no. We all go together, Ubuntu, Ubuntu, because I am, we are, and because we are, I am. We are together. I remember the Boston Celtics used Ubuntu when they won the championship against the Lakers back in 09, 08. You know, Ubuntu, we are together. And that's what we must do, dear brothers and sisters. Stay together. Love one another, respect one another, trust one another. That's what we must do. We are Africans. We are Africans. And if you want to use black, that's cool too. But I'm just saying, if you have that mindset, then you probably say, no, black ain't a good word for us. African is a good word for us to help unify us, to help bring us together. Brothers and sisters, I appreciate it. Appreciate all those who participated. Good participation. Thank you. We're going to end this program. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. Not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell damn it don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, I appreciate you listening. I hope that you'll join me on Wednesday when we talk about the Day of Misgiving. The Day of Misgiving, that's what it is. And I understand what it means to you today. I understand that. And also, too, it's a different meaning in the day of COVID, in the day of a pandemic. I understand that, too. But please join me on Wednesday. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodie. Bibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day. Thank you, family. See you on Wednesday.